Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. But all kinds of people have all kinds of reasons to believe, hey, we're not a great nation. We're a guilty, oppressive, white supremacist, deeply racist nation. Or that we are a nation that is dominated by some blood-drinking Satanist pedophiles in the basement of a pizza parlor in Washington, D.C., or, well, you name it. What is wrong with America right now? Why do so many people believe crap that is obviously not true? Wilfred Riley, one of the most popular guests we have on this show, and love having him on, is a professor of political science at Kentucky State University, and he has a new piece in Tablet Magazine, which is terrific, and a piece is called The Assault on Empiricism. And basically, why is it that people want to ignore facts and data about everything, about race, about crime, about the economy, about education, even about a coronavirus pandemic? Wilfred, great to speak to you again. What's the best and most important and most salient example of American public opinion turning away from any kind of fact-based analysis?
And thank you first for having me on, Michael. But there are quite a few examples given in the piece. I mean, as you mentioned, this came out with Tablet Magazine. And the idea is sort of the attack on empiricism in modern life, where from QAnon on the right, which you subtly mentioned in that intro, to Black Lives Matter on the left, a lot of people believe simple, obvious nonsense. I actually think the Black Lives Matter facts are probably the best example of this. Skeptic Research Center, a large and well-regarded think tank, did a major survey of Americans, in particular young Americans. And what they found is that among people who identify as leftists, just standard answer to the question, are you very liberal? About 35% of them currently believe that the number of unarmed black men killed by the police during a typical year is about 1,000. Another 15% believe that the typical number, average number of unarmed black men killed by cops in a year is about 10,000. And then you had, I believe, 7%. I don't want to exaggerate this at all, but believe it's more than 10,000. I mean, and to put that in context, the total number of murders in the USA in a bad year is 20,000. We definitely need to work on crime in the community, but less than half of those involve black people at all, 49 to 51%, I guess about half. So people think that as many people are shot by cops with no weapon as are shot, at least on the black side of the fence. The actual number there was 18 last year. So I think that's probably the best example, but there are multiple examples given in the piece, COVID, death rate, and so on.
Yeah, the idea that, and I saw this recently, someone wrote a letter, I think it was to the Journal, suggesting that black people in this country have been losing ground economically and educationally over the last 50 years. Is there any basis for believing that?
No. Generally, you get to figures like that by completely manipulating statistics. So, for example, it is true that black household income, at least since the 80s, hasn't increased all that dramatically. But the reason for that is that divorce and fatherlessness have become a plague in both urban black and white communities. So the number of people in a household has decreased by something like 48%. If you look at personal income, I mean, the average black person, if I recall correctly, at least the man, is well over 30,000. Whites are up to around 40,000. So no, both life has dramatically improved since the 1970s. As anyone who can remember what television back then was like, radio, and the gaps between whites and blacks when it comes to income, IQ, so on, have narrowed pretty substantially. So no, there's no basis at all for saying that race relations or whatnot were better 50 years ago, I mean, that would be 1971. You can make the argument by twisting statistics around, but the facts just aren't there to support it. I think that's intuitively obvious to most people.
And that brings us to the census that was released today. At least it released many of its preliminary numbers. And everybody's highlighting this as, oh, this shows that inevitably at some point we're going to be a minority-majority nation. The percentage of non-Hispanic whites is down to 58% of the population. The New York Times and even the Wall Street Journal are treating this as like an earth-shaking development. Do you share my sense that the racial aspect of the census is being overplayed?
Yeah, dramatically. So first, I will say one thing from kind of the conservative, just straight-up right side of the fence. One of the most ridiculous gaslighting games that's being played in society right now is scolding people on the right as racist. Tucker Carlson's gotten this boot a couple of times. If they mention that the left seems very excited about a majority-minority country, but the left is openly very excited about a majority-minority country, where you see headlines in Time magazine, the New York Times, so on, with titles like Waiting for 2043 and 2043 Can't Hardly Wait and so on down the line. So, I mean, we all at some level know that this is a debate that's going on and one side's kind of cheering for it. What I personally think, contra both the alt-right and the social justice boyos, is that this is, as you said, a wildly overblown story. So, first of all, when you say non-Hispanic whites, about 18% of the country is Hispanic, and the majority of Hispanics, like northern Mexicans, are just white. In one sentence, this, by the way, is a death blow to social justice and the alt-right. I mean, if you argue that a gap between, quote-unquote, whites and Hispanics is due to genetics or some brutal form of hidden racism, or really anything along those lines, you have to explain how that can be the case for Hispanic populations like Colombians that are just white. So, I mean, just as we've seen with Italians, Irishmen, Greeks, of course, the Jewish community in the past, there's a substantial possibility that we'll just broaden the definition of Caucasian to include people that are purely Caucasian from countries like Argentina and Lebanon. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is that race, to some extent, will lose its significance overall, because many of the minority immigrants coming in, the largest purely non-white categories, Asian, probably followed by West African, are doing very well. It's not the stereotypical, perhaps some of the struggles with assimilating Native Americans or something like that, that we associate with U.S. minority populations, rightly or wrongly. I mean, Japanese Americans are one of the highest income groups in the country, so are Nigerians. So I think that we will probably expand the idea of quote-unquote whiteness to some extent. And I also think that as we see Nigerians and Jewish kids and Japanese kids and so on performing well in every urban school, race itself may be a little less significant. I don't think this is going to break the country apart, no.
No, and the other aspect of this that they don't pay attention to is right now this supposedly racist country is just filled with interracial marriage. This new census has a number for Asians who were born here in this country. Half of them marry white people. And
yeah.
So in what sense, we talk about diversity, we have a lot of diversity within families where the skin color isn't the most important thing, which, by the way, the left seems to insist upon. In terms of basically trying to return to fact-based analysis, to empiricism, as it's known, what's the most important thing to keep in mind?
I think the most important thing to keep in mind when you're looking at an empiricist perspective is the distinction between sort of anecdote and data. I mean, the old line is the plural of anecdote isn't data. So it would be very, very easy to come up with a terrifying article in a venue like the Times or the Journal, and this happens all the time, based on entirely true accounts of a phenomenon, like, say, white-on-black crime, black-on-white crime, police violence, something like that. If you could put together 17 stories, you could fill 34 column inches. But when you see that, it's important to realize that's still only 17 stories. if we see 10,000 stories about George Floyd, that doesn't mean there are 10,000 George Floyds. So when people are interested in what the actual rate of something like police, quote-unquote, murder of unarmed people is, that's very easy to find. You just go to the Washington Post's The Counted database. If you're curious about how many people are in jail, you can find that data. What the rate of interracial crime is, you can find that data. And very, very rarely does the data confirm sort of our worst suspicion.
Wilfred Riley, such a pleasure speaking with you. His piece about the war on empiricism is up at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back.
The Michael Medved Show. michaelmedved.com.
He's called capitalism the greatest thing humanity ever accomplished, and he warns that socialism is trickle-up poverty. He's internationally acclaimed Whole Foods CEO and free market champion, John Mackey, the keynote speaker at this year's Washington Policy Center annual dinner in Bellevue with the Hyatt Regency. Yup, in person in Bellevue with the Hyatt Regency on October 1st. Tickets and information, WPCdinner.com. That's WPCdinner.com. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We'll be right back.
MedVed.
It's right here and right now and very present, and this is the moment. This is the moment.
This is the Michael MedVed Show.
And this is the moment when two of the smartest guys in the country, really, Daniel Henninger of the Wall Street Journal and Karl Rove, a former political advisor to President George W. Bush, a great political analyst also with the Wall Street Journal, they both come together to say, wait a minute, by all rights, this upcoming election should not be close. Unless the Republicans manage to blow it, and we could, this should be a resounding Republican triumph. I'm talking about 2022. Here's, first of all, what Karl Rove has to say, and he's entirely correct in his analysis. He says, first, history. Democrats hold the House narrowly, 220 to 212. Since the emergence of America's two-party system in the mid-1820s, there have been 36 first midterm elections. In only two has the president's party gained House seats. In 1934, right after Franklin Roosevelt came in with the New Deal, he was very popular, and in 2002, where George W. Bush was very popular because of his leadership after September 11th. Take any starting point, and it's the same story. Since World War II, the party controlling the White House has lost an average of 28 seats in its first midterm. Since 1900, lost 32 seats in the first midterm. If you go back to the mid-1820s, 34 seats. See, these are devastating numbers, because if they lose, the Democrats, 5 seats, they lose control of the House of Representatives. 5 seats, that's all it takes. And people are saying that with the reapportionment in Texas alone, and certainly in Texas and Florida combined, the Republicans control that process because they control the legislature and the governorship in Texas and Florida. They could easily win the House just on that basis alone. And then he says that the ground was not well prepared for this ambitious Democratic agenda. He's now talking about the $3.5 trillion spending bonanza, which comes on top of the $1 trillion infrastructure bill. He says, the ground was not well prepared for this ambitious Democratic agenda. Voters don't like expensive surprises. Swing voters in particular appear to be put off by the price tag. And they cast, and then the vast expansion of federal power. The more they hear about Mr. Biden's agenda, the less they probably like it. And again, take a look at what is being registered in all the polls right now in terms of, do you think America's headed in the right direction? Even after the passage of the infrastructure bill, people think overwhelmingly not, by almost 2-1 in some polls. To maximize their gains, writes Karl Rove, Republicans must prove him wrong by each offering their agenda and explaining what they're for with as much passion as they describe what they're against. They must make the midterms about future possibilities, not past grievances. It's very well said. That should be obvious, but in today's GOP it isn't. Republicans have the opportunity to put forward a positive governing agenda focused on the economy and values. They're the only thing in the way of the agenda's creation and the GOP victory that would follow. And part of that agenda, I spoke about this yesterday, and it got almost no attention, almost total media blackout. And it's very important. James Lankford, the senator from Oklahoma, fought during that Votorama they did on this big new bill for the budget blueprint. He fought to get the Hyde Amendment defended. And the Hyde Amendment would ban federal money to pay for abortions. And it passed the Senate. Passed the Senate because Joe Manchin voted for it. And this is not an anti-abortion maneuver. It's basically saying that government should not be pro-abortion. By the way, I think that polls at about 75-80%. People do not think taxpayer money should be used to pay for somebody's abortion. It's a wrong thing. And the fact that the Republicans actually achieved that, at least in the first version, and of course, they're very far from actually passing this budget blueprint, but it's a significant victory and something to take home to a lot of people out there, and it's a tremendous number of Americans who care deeply about this issue. And this by Daniel Henninger. One may question the progressives' ability not only to govern, but even to do politics effectively. The idea of systemic racism, often allied with teaching some version of critical race theory, is so extreme that it simply falls outside a strong majority's consciousness of the real world. No surprise, an active refusal to adopt those ideas is underway among parents in public and private schools. A similar mystery is why the progressive Greens, and the climate press for that matter, actually believe it is effective politics to describe life on Earth as at the edge of a cataclysmic apocalypse, with the world engulfed over the next 30 years in hurricanes, wildfires, floods, and melting ice caps. And that avoiding doom will require uncapped public spending and ceding authority over daily life to unseen climate scientists. Those claims are beyond any politics that normal people can process. Past some point of incomprehension, people tune out or resist. With a climate apocalypse, resistance is simply stop caring. It is hopeless. With climate regulation, we have the test case of California, the world's fifth largest economy. Progressive-run California, for years, has been the most climate-correct state in the union, and the most screwed up. By suppressing the use of fossil fuels and natural gas while elevating solar and wind, California has created an electrical grid that performs poorly under stress, causing statewide power outages. Governor Gavin Newsom plans to shut down the state's only nuclear power plant, which is emissions-free, in 2025. Now, if he loses his recall election, and California elects, it would most likely be Larry Elder, who is running ahead among Republicans. If that happens, he won't have the chance to shut down the only nuclear-free, emissions-free nuclear reactor that has worked well and reliably for so long. Look, all of these are reasons why whatever the politics of the day and of the ups and the downs and who wins which congressional vote, The Democrats have overplayed their hand. They didn't win some kind of landslide mandate election. They won a narrowly focused race. And now trying to use that race as the basis for totally remaking the American economy and the American governmental system, that's not a good idea. Coming up, we have a number of movies, including a new animated musical comedy starring The Voice and original songs by Lin-Manuel Miranda. And then Ryan Reynolds in a computer-based comedy, well, a computer game-based comedy, called Free Guy. All coming up on The MedVet Show.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. AAA reporting the national average for a gallon of regular gasoline just over $3.18 as we head into the weekend. That number is unchanged. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas claims the administration is going to lose the border crisis as unsustainable numbers of illegal immigrants continue to pour into the United States. Mayorkas making those comments during a private meeting with Border Patrol agents in Texas around the same time that he announced roughly 213 illegal immigrants were encountered attempting to cross the border illegally in July. The DHS head honcho saying the border situation cannot continue as he is well aware of certain areas came close to breaking points.
How close do you think to breaking here in this sector? And it's our responsibility to make sure that never happens again.
USA Radio News.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Oh, it's such a blessing to see you,
Michael Medved.
Thank you for taking time out of your day. Oh, gracious God, thank you so much.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, got a show of support yesterday from President Joe Biden, who issued a statement on Twitter urging Californians to oppose the September 14th recall. Is that going to swing things around for Governor Newsom? I don't think so. If you look at the polling right now, Joe Biden is not at the peak of his popularity. Far from it. It's fallen dramatically. Biden issued a statement on Twitter urging Californians to oppose the September 14th recall. Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, who of course is from California, are expected to take active roles in the campaign, including possible in-person appearances. Look, this is a big deal because the one threat that the Democrats have acknowledged and why Gavin Newsom is struggling is that Democrats don't seem very motivated to turn out for him. He just has not generated a lot of enthusiastic public support. It's very much like the situation was with Gray Davis. Is clearly California remains a Democratic state. It's not like it's had a change of heart. But in this election, the people who want earnestly, and that's almost all Republicans, to get rid of Gavin Newsom, are far more likely to turn out in a recall election at an unusual time in September 14th, or to mail in their ballots. they're much more likely to do that than the people who admire and profoundly support Governor Newsom. He gave an interview to the Sacramento Bee just a few days ago. And in the midst of the conversation, well, tell me if he sounds like a confident leader who's cruising to victory. This is Governor Newsom.
It'd be damn nice if our homegrown team start focusing on what's right. Everybody outside this state is bitching about this state because of our success. Forgive me, I know I'm a little pointed today, but I've been taking a lot from a few folks for a lot of months, so it's nice to be able to express myself, too. I'm a future ex-governor. It could happen in a few weeks, could happen in a few years, but I love this damn state.
If you can just tell from the way he expresses himself, this is not somebody who's brimming with confidence or certainty about his upcoming victory. And speaking about upcoming victories, a big failure for people who were trying to get the Supreme Court to intervene against vaccine mandates. The Supreme Court allowed Indiana University yesterday to require students to be vaccinated against the coronavirus. Eight students had sued the university, saying the requirement violated their constitutional rights to, quote, bodily integrity, autonomy, and medical choice. Justice Amy Coney Barrett, generally considered one of the most conservative voices on the court, and certainly one of the most constitutionalist and originalist, she oversees the federal appeals court in question. She turned down the student's request for emergency relief without comment, which is the court's custom in ruling on emergency applications. She acted on her own without referencing the application to the full court, and she didn't ask the university for a response. Both of those moves were indications that the application was not on solid legal footing. The students were represented by James Bopp, who was a very prominent Republican conservative lawyer who had been involved in many significant lawsuits, including Citizens United. The ruling capped a string of setbacks for the students in the case, which was the first to reach the Supreme Court concerning the coronavirus in the context of an educational institution. The court has previously ruled on many emergency applications arising from the government's response to the virus in other settings, including houses of worship and prisons. A trial judge had refused to block the university's requirement, writing that the Constitution permits Indiana University to pursue a reasonable and a due process of vaccination in the legitimate interest of public health for its students, faculty, and staff. A unanimous three-judge panel of the United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit in Chicago declined to issue an injunction while the students' appeal moved forward. Each university may decide what is necessary to keep their students safe in a congregate setting, so said Judge Frank E. Easterbrook, who was, by the way, a Reagan appointee to the appellate court. Let us go quickly to Tom in Glendora, California. Tom, you getting all ready to vote for Governor Newsom, are you?
Can you say the great Eldersky, Larry Elder, Michael? That's who I'm voting for.
Well, I think there are a lot of people are going to join you in that, no doubt about it.
Well, as always, it's an honor and a privilege to be on this great radio show. And I'll begin with a little bit of attempted levity very quickly. President Biden really may be what people kiddingly said his BIDEN stands for, the biggest idiot Democrats ever nominated. I think you might agree. Remember the worthless one, Jimmy Carter. I think President Biden makes him look like Ronald Reagan. And enough of the talking about that. What gravely concerns me, I loved your guest, the great veteran, the American hero, Paul Miller. What he said is so obvious and so chilling with the debacle, the disaster in Afghanistan, that if not corrected immediately, will have, as he pointed out, absolutely unconscionable, dire consequences. We are the greatest nation on earth, as you've said. You've called us rightly the kingdom of kindness. I would say the beacon of freedom that the world looks up to. And for us to run like this, to go out like the Keystone Cops and have the evil vipers, the Taliban, come in as they already have done. And this, Michael, as our anniversary of the horrific attack of September 11, 2001, that's about a month away, to do this now and to be bumbling and inept for the world to see, our national security, the world's future, is so gravely imperiled. I pray to God, and maybe we need prayer warriors, that he will intervene somehow and help us avoid this unmitigated disaster.
Well, the one thing I'm hoping for is Paul Miller. I agree with you. He's a wonderful guest, and he's a wonderful patriotic American and a great public servant. But his suggestion of a humanitarian intervention to just freeze things in place and give the government some breathing room. I mean, we are sending 8,000 troops in there, and I think people who think they're just going to come in and tiptoe, like 4,000 of those troops are Marines, and they're not known for tiptoeing. And could the Taliban advance be turned back at the last moment? Could we rally some support for the Afghan government, particularly if we have some cooperation with our allies? And I think there are several of America's allies, including Boris Johnson in the UK, that are willing to do it. It's not inconceivable. But I think what's going to happen is for a bipartisan push to go into the Oval Office to talk to Joe Biden. He says he wants to do bipartisanship. Honestly, a last moment intervention to rescue the women of Afghanistan from a heartbreaking and horrible fate is, I think, the last chance we have in terms of our investment in that country. Speaking of investment, should you invest in a new animated film with Lin-Manuel Miranda or a comedy, science fiction comedy, with Ryan Reynolds? We'll review them coming right up on The MedVed Show.
The Michael MedVed Show. MichaelMedVed.com.
Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to MichaelMedVed.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. Okay, how crucial are faith and freedom really to America? Ronald Reagan called faith and freedom the twin beacons that brighten the American sky. What did Reagan mean? Well, you can find out at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, which has just launched a new course on the legacy of Ronald Reagan. This is very important because the course is posted online at the Institute's website, faithandfreedom.com. The course is led by Reagan biographer and expert Dr. Paul Kangor, frequent guest on my show. And the course includes Professor Kangor's one-on-one interviews with the likes of Bill Bennett, Ed Meese, Peter Robinson, Michael Reagan, and more. It's a remarkable offer that you will truly not find anywhere else, and it's free. Yeah, it's actually free. While you're there at faithandfreedom.com, also check out the many articles and lectures on topics from freedom of conscience to critical race theory, from Madison and Lincoln to Churchill and Reagan. You can find all of this and much more on the website at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Him. You're the most brilliant radio talk host in America.
Hollywood hates him.
I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your brains.
Michael Medved.
And on the Michael Medved show, there are actually a bunch of summertime movies, some aimed at family audiences. Are they well aimed at family audiences, particularly the big new Sony Pictures animated feature with music by Lin-Manuel Miranda? That all from our update from Hollyweird. Okay, the best new movie that's out this week, and it surprises me because when I heard about it, when I watched the trailer, I thought, yuck, I really don't want to see this. But I went out to see Free Guy, and the movie is simply terrific. It really works. It's original. It has all kinds of hints of other movies like, oh, The Truman Show or even The Matrix. Ryan Reynolds plays a mild-mannered, very cheerful bank teller. And sort of as in Groundhog Day, every day sort of is the same for him. He says hello to his goldfish. He has a cup of coffee. He says hello to his friend. He says to all his customers at the bank, make every day not just a good day, but a great day. And, of course, I like that. Yeah, there's a sort of an aura of Ted Lasso from the Ryan Reynolds character. But he lives in a world that's weird. There are monsters and disasters and speeding cars and craziness. And then you find out he actually is a supporting character, a background character, really, in a video game. And then the movie moves on from there, sounding like this. Listen.
Hey, bud, you ever think that there's got to be more?
More than what?
Stuff we do day after day. Being shot at? Run over? Taken hostage?
Today's going to be different.
Guy, this world, it's a video game.
and it's full of bad guys.
I'm a rule breaker. I'm a rattle snaker.
We need you to be the good guy.
I'm not going to be the good guy. I'm going to be the great guy.
That's a Jodie Comer, who plays the Molotov girl, who is actually an avatar in the game being controlled by somebody else, and that somebody else is one of the inventors of the original game, while the game is being stolen by an evil corporate wannabe, played by Taika Waititi, who played Hitler in Jojo Rabbit, you may remember. The special effects are really superb and really fun. It is very rare that this hardened movie critic actually laughs out loud. I did laugh out loud at this film. And it goes on and it takes twists and turns. And again, it does tend to remind you of other movies. But it could end up being one of the most entertaining imaginative movies of the year. The characters in the real world and their avatars in the video game are all beautifully rendered. 3.5 stars for Free Guy, which is not a movie for very little kids, because, I mean, obviously it's got some fairly serious violence in it, like most video games do. But if the kids can follow it, it's rated PG-13. It has a kind and good heart, and you come out of the film feeling just great. The other big new movie this week is also aimed at family audiences, very different. And I was not sure what a kinkajou was. And no, that's not some kind of ethnic slur. It's a kinkajou is actually a kind of rainforest monkey, though it's not technically a monkey. It's technically its own genus. It's its own animal. And a kinkajou named Vivo is voiced by the one and only Lin-Manuel Miranda. He has a partner that he works with, basically in Havana, Cuba. And the animation, particularly the Cuban sequences, is pretty darn good. And the kinkajou becomes extremely absorbed in trying to bring a song that his old man partner has written to his lady love, who's about to give her farewell concert in Miami. And there's a little girl, Gabi, who travels with the monkey through the Florida Everglades and all sorts of dangers to try to deliver that song for that farewell concert. Listen.
Nothing would mean more to me than for us to sing together again.
So you guys were like a duo.
She was also the love of my life, but I never told her how I felt. Oh, my love. Oh, my. I put it into a song.
She needs
to know that I love her.
Martha, here I come.
Martha needs to hear this song, and I'm going to get you there.
Okay, and it's a long journey. Yeah, the movie goes on and on and on and on, and there are some dangers that would make it unsuitable for little kids, despite its PG rating. A pretty scary python in the Everglades. And I don't know why they determined to make this a kinkajou, which is not even native to Cuba or Florida or any part of that region. It's from further down in the Amazonian rainforest. But in any event, the songs by Lin-Manuel Miranda, which he wrote right after he wrote In the Heights, apparently, he was approached to make this movie. And his voice provides the voice of the kinkajou. But it never really gels. The movie has a feeling of being adequate in terms of its plot, its characters, and its animation. By the way, Gloria Estefan provides the voice of the long-lost love who's doing the farewell concert, and it's sort of fun to listen to her and look to her. 2 stars for Vivo is the name of the film. That's the name of the kinkajou. I'm afraid that this is one of those animated films that people will shrug rather than applaud. Schmigadoon is a TV 14 rated Apple TV Plus series. The series, each one is less than a half hour. There are 6 of them. And It's basically a satire on Broadway musicals of the golden era, not new Broadway musicals, but the old-time musicals, particularly Music Man and Carousel and Sound of Music. King and I is referenced. All of them are referenced in this story of a modern couple who are having a tough time in their relationship, and they end up stumbling into a magical, mystical world that seems to be an American village in the sticks from about 100 years ago. Think River City in Music Man. And the series sounds something like this.
We can't leave. It's like magic. We're in an actual musical.
Please, God, no.
Everybody! They said we're only here till we found true love. Do you think this is true love?
What does that even mean? Who knows what Schmigadoon thinks is true love?
We're stuck here forever.
Okay, Schmigadoon, of course, a reference to the Lerner and Lowe musical Brigadoon. The cast is delightful, and Keegan-Michael Key and Cecily Strong play the lead couple. They're both very funny. And look, the film is rated PG-13. And that's largely because of one should be an R-rated number, which is a satire on Doe a Deer from Sound of Music, where they're explaining in very graphic terms the facts of life and how babies are made while strumming a guitar, which uses a lot of words that little kids would not know and probably should not know. Now, with that, there's all kinds of supporting characters who are fun and interesting. There's Daniel Tveit, who's a Broadway comer, plays basically the same role as the lead in Carousel, Billy. And the film is fun to watch. And again, it makes you laugh out loud occasionally. And it's outrageous. But it's too overstuffed. I mean, if they did this, it's a total of 3 hours for all 6 episodes. And the episodes hold up until the very end, and then it does seem to get just a bit tired. Did I enjoy it? I thoroughly enjoyed it. If you love musicals, and you know something about musicals, and you can relate to what they're satirizing, you have a great time with Schmigadoon. And certainly enjoy the two leads whose relationship is almost plausible. 3 stars for Schmigadoon. And again, it's rated TV-14 for part of that content that I mentioned and other adult sexual references. Nothing terribly graphic and lots of singing and dancing. We won't be singing and dancing on Monday, but we will be back with more about all of the unfolding crises and opportunities that await next week this greatest nation on God's green earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.